From Bigfoot to ghosts, aliens to the afterlife, this is Nightcast. And now, here is your host, Ian Morris.
Good evening. Welcome to the night. Have you ever taken a picture and afterwards found something in the picture that you didn't see when you took it? Well, tonight we're going to investigate the audio version of that, EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. And joining us this evening is our guest who himself has been to prison, but not in the way that you would think. He was allowed to stay overnight at Alcatraz Prison. Rejoining us on Nightcast this evening is investigator of paranormal activity, investigating everything from Sasquatch, chupacabras, UFOs, alien abductions, and tonight, EVPs from Alcatraz. Seth Michaels rejoins us here at Nightcast. Good evening, Seth.
Hi, good evening, Ian. Thank you for having me back.
So, Seth, tell us about your investigation at Alcatraz Prison in San Francisco Bay in California.
You know, Ian, I've been always fascinated with Alcatraz, the history, everything about it. So it was one of my personal journeys here to go out there and spend a night. I've read stories, read everything that Alcatraz has to offer when it comes to the paranormal type of thing.
And so you were allowed to go out and stay overnight. That's unusual. You were allowed to go out and stay overnight at Alcatraz prison.
Yes, actually. I had to ask special permission to actually stay overnight. They don't let not anybody just stay there. I had to show my credentials, my reason, and the reason why I really wanted to be there, to be honest.
And that was to investigate the reports of ghosts like phenomena out there? I mean, I've heard there's quite a bit of activity out there.
And that's what I really want to investigate. I really want to find out if that is true, if it's not just fake, I think. And something about me that I love to do is to investigate things that have already been investigated and to double check and to see.
Alcatraz Prison was built back in the 1800s during the Civil War to house Civil War prisoners. And later it became a military prison. Well, during the Civil War, it was a military prison.
Yes.
But later in around 1930s, the 1930s, it was converted into a federal maximum penitentiary.
Yes.
And some pretty famous people were imprisoned there, were they not?
Oh, yes, definitely. You got from Machine Gun Kelly, you got Al Capone. You have even the Birdman.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating subject. Mm-hmm. So you were taken down into the cell blocks?
Yes. After I went to the night tours, and normally when the public starts leaving, that's when I was able to stay a little bit longer. There was one guard who stayed with me to lead me to the cell blocks.
Now, you stayed overnight, right?
Exactly.
You stayed through the entire night at Alcatraz prison.
It was very scary.
Was the guard with you at all times?
He was with me when he dropped me off. Then when I kind of looked around, I looked back, he wasn't there anymore. He actually left me there by myself.
He went back up to the security.
I think he got scared himself.
Back to the safety of the security area.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah. So,
now, in the different cell blocks, there's different... there's different phenomena and there's different areas. I know that in cell block D, I remember reading somewhere that in cell block D, there are some steel doors in the corridor of cell block D, which lead down to what is known as the dungeon.
Yes, yes.
Did you get to go down there?
Unfortunately, I was not able to go down there. The guard actually said for my own personal security that I'm not allowed to go down there.
So he wouldn't let you go down into the dungeon?
Definitely not.
For your own security?
Exactly.
Did he indicate that it was like a security issue, or was it...
He was very firm with his answer. He looked at him with a straight face, and he just said, I cannot let you go down there for your own security. I kind of begged him a little bit, but that didn't budge at all. He was very, very serious when he said...
I've heard that there was one prisoner in Alcatraz that would challenge the rules and constantly not follow the rules, and they took him down there and locked him in the dungeon overnight. And when he came back up in the morning, they say he never broke another rule again.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Also, the prisoners there that were, quote, from the mob, that were used to getting favors in other prisons by, you know, bribing guards and things like that, were in Alcatraz, that was completely unheard of. I guess that just didn't exist, that in Alcatraz there were no favors.
There was absolutely no favors.
There was a lot of misery going on in that prison.
I mean, it's a lonely island. You're away from the public view. So it's the rules were just food, medical care, clothing, and shelter. Those are the only four rules.
That's the only thing you got.
Anything else was a privilege. And that is something that, again, because of the rules of Alcatraz.
Now, there were also quite a few murders that took place in the cells of prisoners and stuff. Well, you've brought us some EVPs, some electronic voice phenomena that you recorded. Can you set up the first one for us? We'd like to hear it.
Yes. Just to let you know, I recorded about 56 different types.
56 different? And how many EVPs, out of the 56, how many actually did you get voice phenomena on?
Believe it or not, only six. Only six out of the about 56 that I got.
So 50 of them, you got nothing?
Absolutely nothing. Just
silence. And that's how you spent the majority of your night. Was it scary?
Tell me, yes, definitely. I mean, being alone in a jail cell that big and cold and again in an island where, you know, I can't really escape, and temperatures in that water get about very, very cold. I mean,
Seth, did they leave the lights on for you?
Certain parts they did. Certain parts.
What about in the corridor? What about in the cells? The there's A, B, C, and D block, correct?
Yes.
And did they leave the lights on in those?
They did. They did. Only there was a part when, I guess, in the shower room, they dimmed it very. They didn't have it completely. So it was very scary for me since I was alone in the shower.
But even with the lights on, it's still pretty dark in there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. It is.
It's pretty dim light and pretty dull. And did you feel anything while you were doing these EVPs? Did anything touch you or anything?
You know, maybe it was just my own self, just the fact that I know the history of Alcatraz, that maybe I felt certain stuff. There's certain parts of the cell that it gets very cold. Those are the locations that I really want to record. And with some that I brought, you'd be very fascinated what I brought here.
Okay, Seth, let's go ahead and listen to the first EVP. Could you set that up for us?
Yes, it's around 11:36 p.m., and I'm in cell 14D block in this one.
I'm here in cell 14D block. Is there anyone here? Does anyone have anything to say?
What does he say? What does he I'm not sure that I quite heard that.
I believe, after listening very closely, and we actually amplified the clip, I believe he says, "I am."
Okay, let's listen to the regular clip first one more time.
Okay.
I am here in cell 14D block. Is there anyone here? Does anyone have anything to say?
Now, I thought I heard it that time. Let's go ahead and listen to the amplified version.
Is there anyone here?
Did you hear that, Ian?
Ah, I do hear that. One more time on that.
Is there anyone here?
Right there, right towards that part.
Yes.
Very quick, though. Very quick. It's not, doesn't take its time. It's just right, just within less than a second, he says it.
It's saying, "I am."
Yes.
Do you have any idea of who that was? That was in 14D. Wasn't there a prisoner that was, or someone that was murdered in that cell?
Yes. He was a mobster. And I believe it was Abbe Moldowitz?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think you're correct. I think it was a mob hitman by the name of Abbe Moldowitz?
Moldowitz, if I'm pronouncing it right. Yes, he was a real horrible mobster, and what he did was, the way he killed his people was just very gruesome. Very gruesome. His nickname was actually, they called him the Butcher.
And yeah, he obviously got caught and was sentenced to life in prison.
Of course, and of course.
My understanding is that now there is no death chamber or anything at Alcatraz because they didn't do executions at Alcatraz. Those were done, if you were, say you killed another prisoner mm-hmm. at Alcatraz and were sentenced to death, then they sent you across the...
to the mainland.
To the mainland, to San Quentin prison there in California, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. That's where they did the executions. They didn't really do it in Alcatraz.
Okay, so now can you set us up? Do you have any others, EVPs that you'd like to play?
Now, since we're talking about the butcher... Now, in this clip, it's around 12:47 a.m., and I'm in cell block C, and what you're going to hear, it's very fascinating and very creepy.
Okay, let's go ahead and listen to that.
It's very dark here. We're in cell block C. It's Abby Maldowitz here.
Okay, I heard something, Seth.
It's right towards the end.
I heard something, but I'm not sure what.
I believe he corrected me, since he was known to be called the Butcher. That was his nickname.
Okay, let's hear that one more time.
Okay.
It's very dark here. We're in cell block C. Is Abby Maldowitz here?
Oh.
You see that?
Yes.
You can hear it right towards the end.
Yes.
He actually corrects me in that clip.
You called him by his name, but it sounds like he corrected you and said Butcher.
Yes.
Do you have the amplified version of that?
Yes, I do.
Is Abby Maldowitz here?
Now, on the amplified version, I distinctly hear that. Let's hear it one more time.
Is Abby Maldowitz here?
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
Very creepy.
When you were doing these recordings, did you hear that?
Definitely not. It was very silent, very, very quiet. Only things that I could hear were probably airplanes passing by on top of us. But other than that, that was it. There was nothing.
So nothing you had to go through all 56 recordings to hear which ones had these EVPs. It must have been very tedious work, of course.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I spent hours trying to find to see if there's any type of sound and or any type of voices or anything in any of these clips. So listening to them, amplifying them, every single one of them. And again, out of all those, only six of them came out.
Only six of them.
Only six of them came out.
And you were in the cell where Butcher was murdered.
Exactly.
And nobody, of course, was ever prosecuted for it. Nobody knew who killed him.
Exactly. Of course, rumors are, of course, it had to be the inmates that killed him.
Absolutely.
But other than that, they don't know which one did it or who did it, or if even the guards were among the ones that let them kill Butcher.
Well, as well, even if they wanted to talk or anything, mm-hmm. They for a while at Alcatraz, they had the code of silence where they were not allowed to talk. The only places where they were allowed to talk was outside on the yard and at their mealtime.
Exactly.
And the rest of the time they could not talk. And a lot of prisoners, it drove them crazy that they couldn't talk. Is there was one that I remember reading about that was in the workshop there, and he just finally went crazy enough. He took an axe and cut off his own fingers so he could get medical attention, so they'd have to send him off the island over to the Bay Area to some prison where he could get medical attention. Mm-hmm. It was his way of, I want off this island. I can't take it anymore.
Definitely. And with that, place will drive you crazy. Not even the hardcore inmates wanted to escape. It wasn't something for them to stay.
Well, Seth, we're coming up on break. Let's let Butcher take us out into the break.
Sounds good.
I'm Ian Morris.
Is Abby Maldowitz here?
This is Nightcast. Thank you.
Welcome back to Nightcast. I'm Ian Morris. In studio with us this evening is our paranormal investigator from Denver, Colorado, Seth Michaels. Seth, let's talk a little bit more about your adventure of staying overnight at Alcatraz Prison and recording EVPs from ghosts.
I would love to, Ian. I would love to.
Tell us a little bit more about where you were and the places you went around the prison.
You know, I went to especially most of the famous inmates' cells. One in particular that stands out to me the most, maybe because of his history, of course, is Al Capone. I actually visited cell 181, which is the cell that Al Capone stayed at, of course, at this time during Alcatraz. Of course, there was no recording, nothing from that cell.
So you tried to get an EVP in his cell.
Of course, definitely.
But nothing was there.
Nothing.
From what I understand, he stayed alone a lot. He tried to kind of keep to himself a lot.
Yes, he did. He knew people wanted to kill him.
Kill him.
He knew,
and that's why he stayed? Yeah, that's why he stayed by himself?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, he actually had one of the special privileges to have a banjo. Again, Alcatraz was very known that they couldn't get what they wanted. They couldn't really easily bribe the guards or anything like that. So one of the privileges that Al Capone got was he was able to play with his banjo, which is, I guess, was his instrument that he loved to play.
Oh, so he got to play the banjo. They didn't get to talk a lot or anything, but he got to actually play a musical instrument.
Because the thing is, if he went out there during time when all the inmates went out there to exercise or to talk or anything, he knew he would get killed. So he got a special request from the warden to actually go into the shower room and play his banjo there and just practice.
Was that in lieu of going out onto the yard with the other inmates?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So he didn't want to go out there because of fear that somebody was going to shank him?
You can say that. He knew that there were inmates out there that wanted to kill him because of his name and, you know, his recognition.
Well, they didn't grant a whole lot at Alcatraz as far as favors or anything like that. I'm kind of surprised that he got the privilege of actually being in the shower by himself. Weren't they worried about escape? I mean, I wonder if there was a guard there with him or if he just got to be alone and play. Of course, as long as they heard the banjo, they'd know he was there. So.
Exactly. And the thing is, and I think that's what probably feared the inmates as well, that he got those special privileges, which kind of made it more, I guess it really just really wanted to kill him.
Now, I'm kind of surprised because in the movie Escape from Alcatraz, mm-hmm. it shows Al Capone out talking with the three successful escapees.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're successful because they were never found alive.
Exactly.
So, but he, you know, in the movie they showed him out on the yard. But according to what you're saying, and I will back you up because I've read the same thing, he stayed away from everybody because he was afraid that they were going to kill him. But he got to actually go in the shower during the recreation period and play his banjo.
Exactly. You know, in the film, I think it's just because of the name itself, they want to bring his name in the film. But from what I've researched and what I've asked, turns out that he actually tried to stay away from the yard for those reasons.
Okay, so you've brought us, well, we obviously have more EVPs to get to. Go ahead and set us up for the next EVP.
All right, Ian, next one is around 1:28 a.m. And this is in the shower room. And this is where I'm actually asking if Al Capone is even there.
So you knew this going in, and you wanted to make sure that you went to the shower room and asked?
Exactly.
What did you ask him?
I asked him if Al Capone was here.
Okay.
See if I heard anything.
Okay, and let's go ahead and listen to that EVP.
Mm-hmm. This is the shower room. Is there anyone here? Is Al Capone here? I guess not.
Ian, did you hear that?
I barely heard something. What was that?
You know, and that's what creeped me out the most. I once we replayed the clip and we amplified it, it sounded like a musical instrument.
But you didn't hear it when you asked that question.
I did not hear it when I asked that question.
Did you feel anything when you asked that question?
It got cold. It got, you know, in the beginning, you could hear me kind of breathing actually a little bit harder just because it started getting very cold down there. So
now in the shower room, did they have the lights on in there?
It was dimmed a little bit.
It was dimmed.
It was dimmed. So it didn't have it completely there. So again, my very scared. I'm trembling a little bit, and I'm there by myself in the shower room.
Well, I know back in 1976, there was, and it's documented in the security reports, one of the security guards that was out there on the island alone said that he would hear in the shower, he would occasionally hear a banjo, or sometimes back in the walkways mm-hmm. behind the cells, he'd hear a banjo.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's listen to your clip one more time. You say that maybe he, did he strum the banjo or what?
Like he just hit a note, hit a string.
Oh, he just, okay, so he, it sounded like he just hit one string?
Yeah, just one note.
Okay, let's listen to that one more time. Let me hear it.
This is the shower room. Is there anyone here? Is Al Capone here? I guess not.
Okay, so now let's listen to the, you've amplified this. Let's go mm-hmm. ahead and listen to that.
I guess not.
Yes. The shower room is a very large room. Very large room. So what I had to do is I had to place different recordings around the room. So I had to go to each recording.
How many recorders did you have in that room?
I had about maybe six. I had in each section of the shower room, I had to try to put one in there. And I repeated the same question. So it was actually in one of the recordings that when I asked the question again, that's when you hear that banjo.
Where in the shower room was it in?
It was actually, it seemed like it was in it was in one of the corners of the shower
room. One of the corners?
It was one of, there was a bench right there and I placed it there. I remember because that's the one that, because I labeled them. It was from recorder number three on that corner on that bench there. And it was there that I heard that and I had to amplify it.
Okay, let me listen one more time.
I guess not.
There.
There it is. I hear somebody talking in the background.
You know,
was that something or was that not there when you did the recordings?
When I see the recordings, definitely was not there. Again, I was by myself. The guard left me. So it wasn't anyone out there that did that recording. Now, it's hard for me to clarify what those voices really are. What stood out to me, of course...
It almost sounds like there's other prisoners off in the other cells talking.
It actually could have been. I think, again, it was hard for me to clarify it, but what stood out to me the most, which was kind of the clearest one, was, of course, the banjo sound that was coming out of it.
You didn't hear any other prisoners? The prison was pretty quiet. Did you hear any, like, cell slamming or any rattling or anything while you were there?
I've heard stuff like that. In my experience, no, and unfortunately not.
So you heard nothing like that?
Nothing.
Do you think the security guard left you because he didn't want to be there, or did he try to leave to be out of your way? What do you think?
I honestly feel not only to kind of leave me be so I could investigate, but again, I did have a little conversation with him, and he did mention how it does get creepy in there. And that usually at nights when he clears out the public, sometimes he does hear stuff.
What time did you start your recordings?
I started recordings around maybe 10 o'clock.
Around 10 o'clock?
No, actually, not around 9 and 10, actually,
right.
Around that time. It's already getting dark already. And at that time, I was alone with the security guard.
Okay. And you went through all the way till, what, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning? Well, the sun was up by then.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, by the time you stopped recording, what time was that around?
I would say it was around maybe 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock in the morning.
5, close to 6 at the most.
Kind of like dawn when the sun is coming up and stuff.
You know, I was already, after recording and asking so many questions and trying to get anything out of it. It was very exhausting, but at the same time hoping that I would catch
Did you feel like you were in danger at any point?
No, not really danger. I think what it really was is that it puts that fear inside you.
Was it like an eerie kind of feeling?
I will say that because the fact is there was times when, perfect example, the shower room again, that it gave me chills back my spine. It gave me goosebumps and it got, certain mm-hmm. places just got mm-hmm. very cold. And it's there at that moment where I placed my recording because I felt like something is here. I'm not alone.
When you first listened back, say, to all 56, and you pulled these six out, these six EVPs out of your recording,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how did that make you feel? Especially since you didn't hear it while you were there, but then to hear afterwards that, yes, there actually was possibly something there with you.
again, it was weird. It's so weird because, you know, you hear stories of Alcatraz. You hear stuff like, oh, they've seen stuff, they've heard stuff, and for me to kind of experience it myself, it was a very scary out of all the investigations I've ever done.
At what time was that you were in the shower?
It was between around 1 to 2 a.m. I was there for about an hour.
I see.
Trying to get recordings, trying to, you know, ask other questions.
This EVP was at, 1:28
a.m.? This one was 1:28.
Okay, so let's go on. Let's move on to another EVP that you recorded. Go ahead and set it up for us so that that we know what's going on.
All right, it's around 2:35 a.m. And at this time, I've already left the shower room. And I've moved up into cell block A. And this is where I'm in the main opening floor of the cell block.
Okay. Now, cell block A, I think, is one of the cell blocks that at the end of the corridor, there are some isolation cells.
Mm-hmm.
I believe cell block D was the worst. That's where the worst isolation cells were, and that's where that strip cell was, where they basically just strip the prisoner, throw him in there. He didn't have a sink or light or anything.
Nothing. He was naked.
Right.
They only gave him bread and water and just a hole there so he can use the bathroom at least.
Now, the cell blocks or the isolation cells in cell block A weren't all that much better. They had a sink. I think maybe they had a light and a hole in the ground for...
of course, yes.
Yeah. But they weren't that much better. So cell block A saw a lot of misery as well.
Yes, definitely.
So I'm sorry. Now go ahead and set us up. We're on cell block A. It's
2:35 a.m. Yeah, in my logs there, it was 2:35 a.m. I'm in the main opening of the floor of cell block A.
Okay, and let's go ahead and listen.
I am here in the main open floor of cell block A. Who is here with? Is there anyone here?
Did you hear that?
I heard, you know, Seth, I heard something, but I'm not quite sure what I heard.
Please, Ian, can you just replay that one more time?
Okay, let's hear that one more time.
I am here in the main open floor of cell block A. Who is here with? Is there anyone here?
Someone was not happy that I was there.
Yes, definitely. That
sounded
it didn't say anything, but
it was hard to understand. But to me, what I unless you hear it differently, Ian, to me it was just a growl. But it sounded that it was very mad.
Do we have an amplified version of that?
Yes, I did. I bring one. I brought one.
Is there anyone here?
What,
very creepy.
What was that before it made that noise? It was an electronic noise.
It altered my device. It's hard to explain.
Yes, and
like,
you know, sometimes apparitions will do things like that. Any electronic device, they'll cause interference. Let's hear that one more time.
Is there anyone here?
There. Did you hear it?
Yes, I did. Yes.
One more time.
Is there anyone here?
Well, Seth, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. I'm Ian Morris.
Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com. This is Nightcast.
And we're back from break. This is Nightcast. I'm Ian Morris. Thanks for being with us tonight. We're listening to Ghost EVPs from Alcatraz Prison. The EVPs were brought here by paranormal investigator Seth Michaels. Seth, tell us who else was famous up there at Alcatraz Prison.
One of the most famous people, again, Al Capone, one of the famous inmates in there. But there was more notorious inmates. We had, for example, of course, Robert Berman Strout. We had, of course, George Machine Gun Kelly.
Now, Robert Strout, he was the Birdman of Alcatraz?
Yes, he had one of those other, again, special privileges where he was able to keep birds in his cell.
Yeah, it seems like, although they didn't grant too many privileges, mm-hmm. that for certain people, maybe they...
Yeah, if they behaved very well.
On good behavior.
Good behavior. I mean, really good behavior. Again, Robert Strout was one of them that would get those special privileges. Again, Al Capone got the banjo. Strout actually was able to get birds.
Yeah. There was a movie made about that, The Birdman of Alcatraz.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So who else was up there?
You know, we had one called Alvin Karpovic, if I'm pronouncing that correct. Mm-hmm. Nickname, they call him Creepy Karpis. Creepy. What I heard about him was he had a conspiracy of kidnap when it came to him. We had Ellsworth Bumpy, his nickname, Johnson. He was mostly about narcotics.
Why Bumpy? Do you know?
I really don't know.
Don't know.
Find inmates, those was the people that had those type of nicknames that kind of stood out to you, like Birdman, Creepy Carpus, and Bumpy, you know.
Maybe his complexion or something.
Could have been.
So who else?
I believe, for what I know, are kind of those that kind of, you know, stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the brothers that were able to escape Alcatraz.
Now, Alcatraz Prison was built in the 1800s, as mm-hmm. we mentioned before, to house prisoners of the Civil War. And I know at one point that President Lincoln ordered that any dissenters or instigators, mm-hmm. Because there were some instigators in California at the time that were trying to get the state to go with the Confederacy. Mm-hmm. And the Confederacy really wanted the state of California because of the gold that was being discovered in California, the gold rush,
exactly.
as well as a lot of the silver was coming in from Nevada.
Exactly.
And so it was becoming a very wealthy state. And the Confederacy wanted California very badly because it had just tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
And there were about, 17 people that were going around the state trying to get everyone to go along with the Confederacy. And it would have been kind of an odd thing. You would have had all the Confederate states and then yet
of course.
The lone state in the West, California. With the Confederacy. President Lincoln had these instigators rounded up and put in Alcatraz Prison. They were pushed down into that dungeon area. Now, there's about 6 cells down there.
Yes.
And they were all just cramped down in there.
Mm-hmm.
They say that their ghosts are down there, and that's why in the more modern days, in the 50s and 60s, they didn't want to get thrown down there because there were ghosts down there. There were some evil spirits down there that were mm-hmm. pretty unhappy.
Exactly. And I believe one of the stories was one of them was... saw red glowing eyes.
That's right. Yes, there was one of the inmates reported that I think it was in D block. Mm-hmm. I think it was, yes, in the dungeon below D block, that one of the prisoners was thrown down there and he started screaming that there was something down there with red glowing eyes that was trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the morning, they found him strangled.
They found him strangled.
And none of the other inmates would... admit to it. Everybody said, no, I didn't do it. And it was kind of the code or kind of a badge of honor, you know, that you killed another inmate. So they would have mm-hmm. gone around bragging about it.
Exactly.
But in this particular case,
I mean,
no one claimed it.
Exactly. The thing is, there was no access to that. Only the guards were able to get access to. Even they asked, really researching that, they asked questions to the guards. And they said they heard the screaming But it wasn't. They just thought he was just going crazy. They just thought he was just.
As many of the Alcatraz inmates did.
Of course, people will beg to get out of there, and unfortunately, depending on their actions, they just let them ignore them. But in this case, after they opened him, they saw him dead down there, strangled out. They hear him scream that there's something with red glowing eyes down there.
And because the prison was built in stages, mm-hmm. some of it in the 1800s, some of it in the early 1920s,
yes.
And as it built up over time, there are actually different types of concrete and different areas like the dungeon. I guess the concrete down there is pretty soft because, you know, it's 1800 concrete, and
exactly.
they didn't have all the technology. And as you go up in the prison, tier above tier above tier, the concrete, the structures get more solid and much better.
Mm-hmm.
There's also down in that dungeon, I had read that there is one big room that they used as a water storage. And if you got thrown down there into that dungeon, just on the other side of a brick wall were thousands and thousands of gallons of water.
Yes.
And so it drove some of those inmates crazy, knowing that tons and tons of water could just break through that brick wall at any moment. Because they didn't know, you know, I mean, that was built in the 1800s. How sturdy is this water storage tank? And it wasn't lined with anything. They just had water, and water would seep through the walls. And
exactly.
I mean, so you never knew, you know, I mean, you could be thrown down there, and they would chain you.
Yeah, and that feeling and those type of stories is what they drove these inmates crazy. And, you know, they wanted to escape, knowing that in reality just couldn't escape. There's actually a quote here from George, what they call the machine gun.
Machine Gun Kelly?
His quote was, "These five words seem written in fire on the walls of my cell. Nothing can be worth this." So for a man like Machine Gun Kelly, who at his time, he was one of the notorious inmates, to have this type of fear in Alcatraz tells you that Alcatraz, it wasn't a normal prison.
Yeah, they sent prisoners there that they couldn't handle in other prisons. Prisoners that they just couldn't make them conform.
Mm-hmm.
The punishment was to be sent out to Alcatraz.
Exactly.
And so there were, I mean, you can imagine there's a lot of disruptive spirits out there that don't believe they got a fair shake while they were here on this planet.
And I can guarantee you, I bet they wish they didn't commit the crime they did. So they could go back.
A lot of them did. You know, like the one that got locked down in the dungeon that wouldn't go with the rules, and when
exactly.
he came back up, never broke another rule again.
Exactly.
So it wasn't a prison of reform.
And it wasn't. It wasn't really.
They didn't care about reforming them.
Oh,
they
definitely not.
Basically, cared about controlling them because they knew there were on a lot of those prisoners that were sent to Alcatraz. There was no reform for them. They'd have to break them, basically.
Exactly.
So Seth, okay, let's listen to more of your EVPs, your electronic voice phenomena.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Go ahead and set up the next one for us.
In this clip here, what we have is it's around 3:09 in the morning. I'm in the lower tier of D block. Now in this particular clip here, I just want to say that it was very cold in here. I was able to record at almost like a thermostat around me to see exactly how cold it was. It was actually, it dropped down under 50 degrees.
50 degrees. Now, you were there this summer. Was
exactly.
that correct?
Exactly.
And it dropped down to 50 degrees.
It was very cold.
Now, I know San Francisco Bay can get cold.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you are around water. You are, you know. And of course, you're on a huge rock, pretty much, and stuff like that. But again, it got very cold, and you can actually hear in my voice in there that it's getting very cold. And I try my best to ask questions.
Okay, so let's go ahead and hear. And D Block, notorious for phenomena like this. Let's go ahead and listen.
Okay.
It's cold in here. This is the lower tier of D Block. The strip cell. Who was in here with me? Come out and talk to me.
Okay, Seth, I don't know what are we listening for?
Any type of sound. anything.
Okay, what did we hear on this? Because I'm not sure that I heard. I'm not sure that I heard anything. Let's listen one more time.
It's cold in here. This is the lower tier of D block, the strip cell. Who was in here with me? Come out and talk to me.
Now, in this one, I heard something.
Yes.
In the beginning.
It's right in the beginning.
The other ones, I heard them kind of answer you at the end. What was this one saying?
I believe when I walked in there, it was very cold in there. So,
you were making a statement.
I'm making a statement. And in the beginning, if you can hear closely, it says, it said, it's cold. It repeated what I said.
It repeated what you said? Let's listen one more time.
It's cold in here. This is the lower tier of D block.
It's right in the beginning.
The strip cell. Who was in here with me? Come out and talk to me.
Oh, so you're in the strip cell, the one without anything in it except just that hole in the center, and they kept it dark. There's no light in there.
No light whatsoever.
Did you have the door open when you did this?
I had to.
It's
very scary. And,
I can well imagine. You did an amplified version of this one as well?
Yes, I brought an amplified version because this is how I did all my recordings, and you'll hear it very clear.
Okay, let's listen to the amplified version.
It's cold in here.
Oh,
right there.
Oh, that's very blatant.
It's cold in here.
That's very, very blatant. You can hear that.
Exactly.
Who do you think that could have been?
It could have been anybody. And to be honest, again, I kind of feel like made fun of me there for a moment when I referred that it's cold in here. And for it to respond back saying it's cold.
Maybe he's agreeing with you, or do you think he's mocking you?
In my opinion, I feel like he's probably mocking me. Again, these inmates, you know, could probably have been tough. Not only the fact that Alcatraz were meant to break them, but it could there be to mock me, to kind of make me feel that this is not what they experience.
Right.
Like this is nothing compared to what they had experienced.
Right. One more time.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold in here.
It's time for break. I'm Ian Morris. We'll be right back.
This is Nightcast.
EVPs are subject on Nightcast. Welcome back. I'm Ian Morris. With us in studio, paranormal investigator from Denver, Colorado, Seth Michaels, who stayed overnight at Alcatraz Prison and came back to Nightcast with ghost EVPs, electronic voice phenomena.
Yes.
So, Seth, How was it when you were there? I mean, were you scared? Did it scare you? Were there times when you wanted to leave?
I was terrified, but there was a couple of times, especially the locations where it got very cold, that I felt like I just had to leave. Again, there are certain parts of the prison that just gave me chills. Felt like there was someone around me, someone there with me. That's why I referred to the other clips. I was asked questions. Are you here with me? Are you here? Who's here with me? And again, out of all those recordings, only six of them were able to respond back to me. But I was very terrified. I couldn't. It's a big difference. I've been there in the day, and it's nothing compared there at night. It's a whole different climate, as in. It's a whole different experience.
What was your energy level? I mean, staying up all night, walking around the prison and stuff, were there times when you were starting to get tired, or was there just so much input there that you wanted to stay awake and experience everything?
It was something, I think it was the adrenaline just being there. Then the fact also, again, I felt there was someone there just kind of kept me awake. I felt like I had all my senses had to be on point whenever I was there.
Were there cold spots?
Definitely.
Were they like naturally cold spots that would normally be there, or?
Definitely not. I think what it was that, again, that evening in San Francisco, I will say it was maybe around 70, 75 degrees at night that day. But on recording there were certain places that were like under 60, even 50. And it was abnormal. And these are the locations that I had to investigate. I had to put recordings there trying to answer questions. Cause I know there was something in there.
But if they were like in corners or things, that would be reasonable that you'd have a cold spot in a corner or something like that.
Yeah, of course you had those moments.
Were any particular cells colder than the other cells?
Some of them, yes. Some of them I felt it was a little much colder. But listening back to recordings, nothing really came out of that.
Did you stay inside or did you go outside?
A majority of them was all was inside. I did go out in the yard for a bit, looked around. I actually had to try to get some video surveillance as well, some video recordings to see if there's any orbs, any movement, anything. But I came out negative.
Nothing video wise. But six EVPs out of 56.
Exactly.
But you got six, so that's something.
That's something. And I was hoping I got something because I did. Again, I was terrified to be there.
There have been reports in particular in cell block A and cell block D of moaning and groaning.
Yes, I've heard from witness, as in from the guards, that they have heard stuff like that. They have heard moaning, groans, and stuff.
The particular security guard that took you down there and kind of left you. Did he tell you anything? Was he pro what you were doing, or was he kind of skeptical?
He has mentioned that, you know, there are times when he had to do a night shift. You know, he says he normally spends in the daytime and the day tours and stuff like that. But he mentioned to me that he doesn't like doing night very much, unless it's special requests like the one I had, because he has heard. And he even said he's actually seen someone there, like it vanishes. Like
now, there's no way off that island at night once you're there. I mean, once the tour boat takes the tourists for the night tour off the island, off Alcatraz, you're pretty much stuck there.
You're pretty much stuck
till morning, right?
Till morning.
What time does the security people relieve out in the morning? Is that how you got back by the security boat in the morning?
Exactly. It had to be the security. The tours did not even start at the time that I left. And again,
because the daytime tours start later in the day, I think 10 o'clock, something like that.
Exactly. So I was already exhausted towards the end, especially when the sun came up. I think I felt like my job was done.
When you were walking around doing these EVPs, did you feel anything following you?
No. Nothing that I felt that.
But was it eerie being in a prison, especially Alcatraz prison, walking through those cell blocks? Although the cells are empty, I don't know. I think I would kind of have a bit of an eerie feeling.
And you have to understand that in some of these cells, people have been murdered in there. in some of
them. And there were murderers.
Exactly. And in some of them, there's actually still stains of blood in certain cells. And
I've heard that.
Walking by there at night, let me tell you, it is almost terrifying to look down at a room and you see blood.
But not that you would get any EVPs from these cells, but did you happen to see the cells where Frank Morris and the brothers that did the escape stayed?
Yes, I did.
You saw those?
I saw those.
And there's no, I mean, of course, there's no EVP activity there because there was, unless they returned and somehow they drowned in the bay, but
Exactly. It's hard to tell, but you know, I did see the holes they were able to break through mm-hmm. the creator,
yeah.
including the heads they made out of materials around the prison.
Oh, they have those on display.
They had those display. They actually had them laying down exactly how they would have. The night they escaped, including some of the
Out of all the cells, even though there's no one else in the other cells, that must have been a little bit eerie to see these heads kind of in the dark there,
exactly
laying in the beds.
And that's walking up those walking down those aisles, and it's kind of in the corner you kind of see a head. It's almost it freaked me out for a moment, and I realized okay, that's just for display. And again, I had to kind of tell myself to keep calm. To keep focus, to just keep doing what I'm doing, because I knew that being there alone, your head just kind of in a weird way just takes you to a different dimension.
Where was the eeriest part or the scariest part of the prison that you walked through?
I believe D block.
D block,
just had to be. I mean,
my understanding of that particular block, because of the punishment and the murders that took place in the cells along mm-hmm. that block, they kind of put the worst of the worst in D block.
Exactly.
And my understanding is that's the one with the most paranormal activity.
Exactly. For a majority of the clips that I brought in today, Ian,
that's right. I guess that would correlate. That's where exactly. you got most of your EVPs, although you got them from some of the other cell blocks, the shower and things like that.
Exactly.
It seems like the majority of the ones that you did get were from D block, or at least some very interesting ones out of D block.
Exactly. And again, one I kind of wish I was able to access was that dungeon.
Yeah, the dungeon seems very interesting to me, but I'm wondering if the reason that the security guard did not let you go down there, I still wonder if that was for your safety, as in we know there's something down there, and for your own safety, we'd really rather not have you go down there. Or if it was like a safety issue, okay, the cement's not good down there, it's from the 1800s, it has a possibility of crumbling.
Exactly.
I don't know. So instinct tends to tell me that maybe they
know something's there. And again, before he left me, I did ask, and that's when I asked him, because I knew about that dungeon. And that's actually one of the first places I wanted to go to, because I knew there was something there. I knew I would get good recordings there. I knew there was something there. And again, when I asked him, he gave me this look in his face of certainty and seriousness. And he just looked at me and said, "You cannot go there. I cannot allow you to go there. For your own safety, you cannot go there." And it's almost, part of me kind of wanted to break the rules there. But if the guard knows that's for my safety, that's something. And again, I'm alone there. There's no one watching me. That's one of the places I guess I regret not trying to kind of push.
Well, Seth, you brought us one more EVP.
Yes, one last one.
And so go ahead and set that up for us.
All right, Ian. And this one, it's from what I hear in my log here, this one's at 3:57 a.m. And this is in Block B.
B. So this is towards the end of your...
And this is almost towards the end of my investigation. And again, in this part here, it's very cold. And at this point, it started getting very dark to me. Whether maybe it was my own...
Kind of the darkest... It's always darkest before dawn?
Exactly.
So, okay, it's dark. It's 3:57 a.m.?
Yes, 3:57 a.m.
And you're in...
And block... In cell block B.
In cell block B. Okay, let's go ahead and listen.
Cell block B. It's very dark. And it's very cold. Can anyone talk to me here? Oh, God. I don't see anything here.
You hear that?
No, I didn't.
Right towards the end.
I didn't.
If you hear closely, he says, get out.
Okay, let's hear that one more time.
So Block B is very dark and it's very cold. Can anyone talk to me here? Oh God, I don't see anything here.
Okay, I think I heard that.
Very creepy. Yes.
I think I heard that. Let's see. You've brought us the amplified version. Let's go ahead and hear that. And I hear voices behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, he's saying, what is he saying?
Get out. And again, this is right towards the end of my investigation.
They're tired of you there.
I had to. I think
they want you out. You're no longer welcome at Alcatraz.
Exactly. I think from there they know that I've heard stuff maybe.
Okay, let's listen one more time. Okay, yes, I hear that. But I do hear voices behind that. Mm-hmm. I hear the get out. Yes.
More, one of the clearest ones, but the voices in the back could have been maybe the other inmates.
I definitely hear.
Mm-hmm. And that from hearing that footage, it kind of tells you that they don't want people there. They don't want anyone there. And gives me, it kind of just justifies how I'm terrified doing these things.
So, Seth, after your entire investigation, do you believe there's something there? Do you believe that there are beings in another dimension that can kind of punch through into our dimension and cause energy?
Yeah, I believe so.
In our electronics.
Doing my investigations and doing the research that I've done, and again, having these recordings kind of just makes me feel like just to justify that there is stuff out there. There is another dimension probably that they come through our dimension here. Whether they're seeking for answers or they're here to terrify us or to, you know, maybe send us a message. I really don't know.
Seth, we'd like to thank you for being here with us this evening.
Oh, thank you, Ian. Thank you for having me tonight.
And we'd also like to invite you back with any other paranormal investigations that you have.
Oh, definitely.
And thank you, everyone, for being with us here at Nightcast this evening. Until next time, I'm Ian Morris. Good evening, everyone.
This has been Nightcast. Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com.